Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes LifeMark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
LifeMark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. You may remember about a year ago, we talked about this concept called Banned Book Week. And it's not exactly what it is titled, but there is certainly an agenda behind it, and here to discuss is Bethany Mandel, writer for The Deseret, FoxNews.com, other great outlets. She's also the editor of the Heroes of Liberty book series, which I cannot recommend highly enough. Historical biographies accurate about the types of American heroes that they will not hear about in their local public school library or in their local public school classroom, sadly, a lot of times. But she rejoins us. Bethany, for those that weren't here last year when we talked about it, Banned Book Week, how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So the American Library Association has been tracking for a number of years the books that people bring an objection to in their local libraries. And, you know, 10 years ago, the books were kind of, you know, Captain Underpants and sort of books that had potty humor, silliness. I personally, you know, I found most of the books that people objected to about 10 years ago to be non-objectionable. That changed. The number one book at the top of the banned books list for the last several years is a book called George. They've retitled it since. Now it's called Melissa, and it's by a writer named Alex Gino, who goes by they, them pronouns. And so I think you know where this is going.
Oh, man.
And it's a book basically promoting the idea of gender transition to children and to middle schoolers. It is marketed for middle grade children. And so that's ages probably like third grade to sixth. And it makes taking hormones sound like taking antibiotics, and it cures you. And it's very easy and it's very simple. And all you need is your parents' permission. And I'm basically paraphrasing because I've read this book. But it's all part of a push to introduce sexuality and introduce age inappropriate topics to children too soon. And if you look at the list of banned books now that the ALA is so desperately trying to protect, the books are explicit and they are inappropriate and they are not the Captain Underpants of 10 years ago. That's for sure.
They're the kind of books actually that when parents tried to read from them at local school board meetings, the school board shut them down and had them dragged out of the school board meetings.
Yeah, yeah. And the same when you show images, there's another book that's been at the top of the list called Gender Queer. And it's a graphic novel.
That sounds harmless.
It's graphic, let me tell you. There's the imagery of sex acts between children. There are images of adults laying in bed with children in sexual positions. I mean, it's just, the ALA has decided to shift its focus towards protecting and promoting sexually explicit material to children. And that's what Banned Books Week has become.
And how do they pull this out? Do they go into the schools? Do they go into the libraries and set up displays? What's the strategy?
For the librarians to sort of promote this?
Yeah.
So so during Banned Books Week, they'll create promo tables. And so they'll say, these are the books that we're highlighting this month. They basically use all the same books as they used in June during Pride Month. They just, you know, same display.
Just change the label on the table. It's banned books instead of Pride. Yeah,
exactly. It's not as many rainbows. But I mean, it's basically the same idea. they're sort of pushing this into the hands of kids. I have a friend here where I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, and she told me that her daughter has pretty much only come home with these books from the school library. And she's talked to the librarian and said, I'm not comfortable with my child reading these books. And the librarian has just been like, I don't really care, because they think that our children are, you know, the collective's children. They are society's children. And, you know, they need to be educated. And who cares what parents think about
it? Well, I've been speaking with Kelsey Bowler and John Gibson, and they've all said the same thing, that this kind of new attitude of the kids don't belong to you, they belong to us, the greater us, whoever that is. And I think, I don't know, Bethany, I know that the left, the far left, is really pushing on the Dobbs case to try to get the abortion vote out. I kind of think that moms, particularly moms of small children, are going to care a lot more about this stuff than they are in states like New York, where abortion is still legal anyway. It's not going to be a deciding factor in the gubernatorial race here, but something like this is. And moms, and you don't have to be necessarily a Christian conservative to be, you know, upset about this. There are just normal people living in the suburbs that don't want their kids exposed to this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the friend that I referred to is a moderate Democratic voter mom, and she doesn't want her daughter, you know, who's, I mean, this is how they target kids. You know, you're going through puberty, your body is changing.
Yeah.
Sorry?
This is grooming. It's,
yeah,
they're
yeah,
in print.
100%. Yeah. And so she doesn't want her daughter sort of in this really sensitive moment in her life exposed to the idea that, you know, you can avoid this changing body thing by taking hormones. You can avoid it, but you shouldn't, because this is just, you know, girls become women, and it's not a fun, it's not a comfortable experience. And so they're sort of targeting young girls by saying, you know, maybe if you're uncomfortable in your body, you're really a man. I mean, show me a preteen girl comfortable in her body.
Yeah. No, it's really insidious what they're doing. And it's another great rationale for why people should explore educational options. I mean, charter schools, homeschooling, Christian schools, Catholic schools, yeshivas, like whatever their options are in their particular communities, there's got to be better opportunities than what we're being force fed through the, you know, National Federation of Teachers.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, we've seen the failure of public education over the course of the last 3 years, and now they're sort of piling on top of it. And so they, you know, they weren't educating our children during COVID, and now that they have them back and they're years behind, instead of trying to play catch up on things like, I don't know, math and reading, they've decided to go all in on gender ideology.
And CRT, and in some cases both. This is really disturbing. Are there any practical steps, Bethany, that that you're putting out there for people to, you know, take more control of their situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the number one thing is to be aware of what your children are bringing home from the library, both the school library and the public library, and also what's being taught in their classrooms. Yeah. And that's not exclusive to the sex ed classes.
Oh, no.
They're putting these books in every single subject area.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's not anywhere near the sex ed discussions that they're doing. It's way in advance of that. Yeah. All right, Bethany Mandel, always appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.